It's Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard, Johnny Rogers, and Ashley Camrath. Talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the horn.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue liar.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate.
Case!
Johnny, what's going on? Hold on, my earphones are really loud.
Yeah, you're coming through really clear.
Coming through real clear there, sir.
Good to see you again. This is our third show of the fall.
Is it?
I think.
It may be. They had two off weeks, so that's two.
I mean,
it was probably our fourth.
Fourth show of the entire fall, which is great. I mean, it's probably a good thing.
We got a lot of information to talk about.
We have got a ton of stuff going on in the wide world of sports.
This is true.
You know, it's just a good day to be here with my family here in Austin, Texas.
What is this?
Have you not seen this Brian Kelly introduction to LSU that happened this week?
Oh, Brian, the head coach from Notre Dame?
Yeah, that went down to Baton Rouge.
No way he said Austin, Texas.
No, he didn't say Austin, Texas. I'm just saying that he, talked.
He has an accent now?
Well, he kind of came across to the...
Play it then.
Here we go. We'll listen to the audio, and you can hear it for yourself, Casey.
It's a great day to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with... great fans.
I mean, it is. Have you ever seen that Office episode when?
No, he sounds like Will Ferrell when he's the country car salesman in
Eastbound and Down.
Yes, remember when he said?
Yeah,
that's what he said. That's what he sounds
Woo!
Like.
Hey, Woo!
Yeah.
But he sounds to me. Remember that episode of The Office
making sweet passionate love to your mother.
And feel it down in my plums.
Down in my plums.
But there's that episode of The Office where they do a murder mystery, and it's, there's been a murder in Savannah. And it is, I mean, when I heard the Brian Kelly clip, I'm just like, you've got to be kidding me. Irish Catholic from Massachusetts.
Yeah, there's no way he has a claim.
And he's been coaching at Cincinnati. He's been coaching at Notre Dame. There is no Southern bone in
there's
Brian
no draw.
Kelly.
There's no draw anywhere.
There's no draw in this. And I was talking to John earlier.
Been here 1 week, y'all.
And there's even after he goes and talks about, it's a great day to be a Tiger here with my family. He has, right after all that, he talks about, he pauses for a second. And then he even says, what does he say, John?
He wants to address the crowd. He's like, it's great to be with all of y'all or with the fans. But he's about to say, I think he was about to say y'all, but he's like, oh my God, I've already laid it on way too thick. So it says you fans instead. If he wanted to lean entirely into the Southern drawl, he should have said y'all there.
You gotta go
every
y'all.
Opportunity, but he doesn't.
You got to go y'all.
Here, let's listen to the sound clip one more time.
Yeah,
for
listen to this
kicks
case.
And giggles.
It's a great day to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans.
Yeah, you great fans. He should have just said to be with y'all.
Be with y'all. If he was natural about it, but he pauses, he's like, oh, I've already dumped it on way too thick. Yeah. You fans.
You
people.
I'm surprised he didn't say yous guys. Hey, happy to be here with yous guys.
Yeah, he definitely, it's like, come on, man.
But, I mean, he's trying to fit in.
No, what he needs to do to fit in is have a big-ass crawfish boil, get some boudin, some, bunch of fried food and some hush, what are those things, beignets.
Yeah.
And then, now, there you go. Now you're in the thing.
Get
some fried redfish and some oysters on the half shell, with the garlic and the French bread with the cheese and the butter. God, let's go to Louisiana and game.
I heard he makes a good roux, too.
You should never say that again. You should never say that again.
Brian Kelly, yeah, he tweeted out, he goes, man, this is the best Rooks I've ever had.
No way.
No, he didn't.
Oh,
but,
my God.
But, you know, here's – all right, so that kind of gets us into a little bit of the conversation of the coaching carousel going on here in college football, which is fascinating to me and what exactly has gone down. What do you think about Brian Kelly going down to LSU, Case?
I think it's weird.
Okay.
I don't think it's a – but LSU doesn't hire a 10-year coach. They never have.
Well, I think they aim to hire a 10-year coach.
No, because the last two coaches they won a national championship by. You know what I mean? Like, it's like,
see ya.
I don't think he's going to be there more than 4 years, 5 years. I think he's going to get a championship because he's going to get the talent down there.
Correct.
He'll get them. I don't know.
The past three coaches at LSU have won national championships.
Yeah.
If you go and head coach at LSU, you've got a really good opportunity
to win one.
To win one.
Yeah, because there's that type of talent. Down there.
And so you got Saban, and they would have loved to have kept Saban forever, but he got poached by the NFL, went off and did his deal in Miami. Okay.
But
then you bring in Les Miles, who probably needed to get out of Baton Rouge. There was some pretty sketchy stuff going on with Coach Miles.
You're right about that.
He was enjoying himself as a being on a college campus, so to speak.
So was Coach O.
A little too much.
So was Coach O.
People
were telling me that Coach O is inviting his girlfriends and letting their kids participate in drills.
Yes. he was putting his
Coach O is old and just getting after it.
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Hey, little Jimmy, go through the running back line.
That is so funny.
But I actually. You know, looking back on it, I think that this is actually a pretty good move for LSU. Brian Kelly is a disciplinarian coach. He's not going to try and be their buddy. You know, you look at other people who have come from the North down to the SEC and had success. Obviously, you talk about Nick Saban, who came from Michigan State. Okay. Then you also got to talk about Urban Meyer, who came from Utah down to Florida and won a couple national championships. So, it's been done before, and I think Brian Kelly, of all the candidates out there, is probably one of the better coaches to be able to get.
No, he's a great coach, but I just.
We'll see.
I don't know. At LSU, you know, or no, I'm sorry, at Notre Dame, he picked his schedule every year. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now you're going to, you're in LSU and you have to compete every week.
Every week.
You know, I don't know. I think he's a 10-win coach. I don't know if he's going to win a national championship in the first four. But with his hype, we'll see. We'll see. I hate Notre Dame, so that's all I see. So, like, I can't get past that.
But all those two, well, I mean.
But to tell you this, though.
What's that?
I'd have taken Lincoln's deal any day.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
He's like, what? You're going to buy both of my houses, give me $500,000 over asking for both of them. Okay, that's a quick mill.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to buy me a $6 million house down here in L.A.
Done.
And
check.
And you're telling me my family can use the PJ whenever?
Hey, sweetheart, you want to go get sushi in Tokyo? Good. We'll be back tomorrow.
Oh, my God.
I mean, to me, the PJ access is I mean, probably better than just about anything else.
They got a lot of, like, USC has a lot of money, but it's not public money. Like, they have
It's private.
It's all private.
It's all private.
So a lot of people don't know how much they really have. They have a chart.
They got dumb alumni that are paying hundreds of thousands of dollars just to get their kids into the school.
Yeah. Some are going to jail for it.
Aunt Becky went to jail for it. You know, Massimo went to jail for it.
Yeah,
but
no, you know, I think, and it, I think
it's
also
an,
too,
it's
though,
an incredible move for Lincoln Riley.
I think also too, though,
and they had to do something.
I think also too, though, a lot of people are speculating on the whole: is he scared of the SEC? I don't think he was scared of the SEC. You just can't say no to that deal.
God,
I'm out. I'm chunking deuces.
Deuces, let's roll.
$110 million. All right,
go west, young man.
Honey, you want to get out of Oklahoma and go to L.A.?
Norman or L.A.
Or L.A.
Norman, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And the minute you walk on campus, okay, it is a mass exodus out of Oklahoma.
I would tell my kids, when all that went down, I'd be like, just pack your clothes. We're setting the house as is.
Done.
$6 million house.
Yeah. Hey, honey. Hey.
Furnish that.
Hey, SC, call up Kelly Wurschler, the top interior designer in the country. Tell her to decorate the $6 million house that we're about to walk into.
Yeah.
Okay?
Here's $100,000.
But the mass exodus happening with all the OU recruits.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to happen because of him.
Oh, my God. They got the number one quarterback from out there that is who's committed to OU, decommits. Now he's committed to SC. I mean, they've got like four of their top recruits who have already.
What about the quarterback? Is he staying?
Caleb?
Yeah.
Hasn't announced yet. Hasn't announced yet. But Spencer Rattler's gone.
Who cares about Spencer Rattler? I don't know who's going to pick him up. Someone needs, like, he's never been punched in the face. Like, one of his old linemen should have whooped his ass.
Correct.
I would have done that. As soon as he opened his mouth, I would have hit him in the face. Like, yo, you're a good player, but you need to shut the hell up.
Yeah. But do you feel bad for OU, Casey?
No. I think it's awesome.
Okay.
My dream was this, though. My dream was Jimbo Fisher to go to LSU.
Of course.
That was like Aggie my ultimate.
Tears.
That was my ultimate day was Oklahoma and both Oklahoma and A&M both losing their coaches.
Oh, that would have been pretty.
Because that would have been so a typical Aggie thing.
Indeed.
To happen. But they're going to have a good squad next year.
Jimbo's got a pretty good gig going on right now at Texas A&M. But still finished 8-4 this year.
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
You know, if you look at him and Kevin Sumlin's first couple years, identical. Their records are identical. Now, Kevin Sumlin didn't have the recruiting train going.
Yeah, because he has a good class coming in this year.
Are you kidding me? They're the number three class in the country right now. I mean, they are coasting. Just picked up a commit from Evan Stewart, probably the top wide receiver in the state.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Texas
got to get better so we stop losing all these recruits to the freaking Aggies, man.
Well, I'll tell you, the University of Texas has been on. I mean, they have been on the road knocking on doors.
Well, hell yeah, they better be knocking on doors. They have to.
I'm telling you, my inside sources tell me that it's going to be a fun couple of weeks.
I hate inside sources. Say, don't drop me. Don't drop me. Oh, my God. Says,
my sources are legit, Casey.
I understand, but like the thing is, that guy's still a rat.
Who?
Whoever the guy is telling him from the team. Like there's I hate how there's guys on the team that go to media. Like your friend, so it's a little different.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's calling me media.
It's not, but it's the guys that report and have all these websites and stuff like that. They're like, well, my sources from inside. It's like whoever that guy is, like he should be backhanded.
Yeah.
Like stupid. I
got so annoyed this week because there was a Twitter account. I'm not even going to say their name, but it's supposedly affiliated with TCU, and they break the news that Gary Patterson is coming to the University of Texas as an analyst.
Is he? I don't think that's a good move for Sarkisian.
No.
Only reason why I say that
is... Why? So PK can be looking over his shoulder every game?
Yeah, it's not good for that, and it's not good because... It's not good for Sarkisian either because of the relationship between Numbnuts and Patterson, CDC.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, they're great friends, and it makes sense. It's like one of those lies that like, oh, I get that. Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. It is absolutely false. Ain't happening. Gary Patterson is not coming to the University of Texas to be an analyst.
But if he is, you're going to be so mad.
Maybe.
You're going to be so mad. You're going to see him walk around in burnt orange like that son of a...
No, well, I mean, no, because the Frogs fired Gary.
They did, didn't they? Yeah.
You know, fired. And now, let me say this. There's nobody that is more important to Texas Christian University than Gary Patterson and what he did, okay? What he did for the for TCU, okay? He put us on the map. He did an incredible job. I'm going to absolutely miss Gary, but it was time. And now you've got Sonny Dykes coming in there. Okay, runs a high-profile offense. Okay, you got your boy Rashad Samples, assistant head coach. Brian Carrington is up there now as well. I mean, the recruiting's going crazy. All right, hell, TCU might land Quinn Ewers for all I know. Okay, and you've got Austin native Westlake great Hunter McWilliams also on staff up there at TCU. So, I mean, they've got a lot of really good things going on up in Fort Worth, up in Funky Town. He's the man.
Hunter's a good dude.
Hunter's the man. Hunter comes over from SMU to TCU, you know.
So y'all get, who do y'all get now?
So we got Sonny Dykes.
Sonny Dykes. Who went to Tech?
I'm blanking on his name. I've got it written.
There's another name.
Yeah.
Another dad name.
Correct. Where are my notes here?
Long history of football name. You know what I mean? So crazy thing is
McGuire.
Coach Dykes, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's new coach of TCU.
Correct.
His dad was Spike, right? No.
Correct.
So, you know, he was the tight end coach for the University of Texas before he went to Tech.
Yep.
So he was my dad. He's the one that recruited my dad.
Oh, really?
So my dad has been here the last month, and we
had some time to catch up.
Yeah, but it was what's wild is I got to get him. So he was on a Zoom call with a bunch of guys that all, you know, saying their well wishes to Bam Bam Mongo, Steve mm-hmm. McMichaels.
Yep.
He's prayers for him. He's on his last leg. He probably only got about another, they're saying a week or so.
Damn.
And they're on a Zoom call and they're talking and you hear these stories and I can't say any of the stories.
Right.
But it's so good. It's so good. But I don't know. I mean, people will probably freak out
About these stories.
I mean, yeah. And we went to lunch with Earl Campbell and his brother, you know, because Earl Campbell's twin brothers came to Texas too.
Yeah.
And so we all went to breakfast over at.
If I could just be a fly on the wall to hear some of those stories.
So we went over to breakfast at the. What was the old one that closed down? That little, the tiny little breakfast spot that was right there on Lamar, right there before the 24-hour diner. Counter Cafe. You know, they moved on the Guadalupe now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a nice little location. So we're all in there eating at Counter Cafe, and they got good food too, by the way.
Great food.
Had some big-ass blueberry pancakes.
Hell yeah.
It was funny. My dad and Earl ordered the same thing. They put their over-easy eggs on top of their pancake with bacon. I was like, so that's where it came from? He goes, yeah, man, back in college. I said, that's wild. But anyway, yeah, so, you know, sitting there having conversations with them talking about Bam Bam, talking about my dad always having a rattlesnake in a burlap sack in front of both of his doors. So people, because what they.
Yellowstone rip style?
Well, no, because people would mess with you when you fall asleep, and they would put the key in your room and you could hear it and that rattlesnake would go because the bag was right against the door.
Oh my gosh.
And the people would like back away like, all right, we're gonna mess up steadily today. I mean, you know, and one of the twins, Earl's brother, he was saying, yeah, we went in there one time and y'all had the damn rattlesnake underneath the covers, man. Y'all are messed up. And they had it tied to a string. They would tie a little string around the rattlesnake's neck. And they would safety pin his mouth shut, and they would, like, walk him into people's rooms.
No, that is – no. I mean, that's like
– I heard these stories as a kid growing up, but when Earl and his brother were telling them back to me, oh, I was dying. Like, man, you stuttered, you rat bastard, you know. That's but, awesome. Yeah, anyways, I definitely want to talk so he was my dad's coach.
Yeah.
And he has some, yeah, so, you know, he's like, you know, I still, you know, he talked to him when my dad was in the league every time he came back in town, you know, golf tournaments and stuff like that.
Sure.
And they're saying Willie would always have a golf tournament.
Oh, yeah.
So my dad.
Daryl? Ben Willie Daryl?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So my dad said he would fly him down there. Willie would fly them all down there and they would go play golf or whatever. And my dad would bring some Broncos, brought Elway and all them one year or whatever. And
I think they usually held that out at Barton Creek.
I don't remember. I don't remember where they. My dad. We went by Barton Creek three times today, so I don't know if he didn't recognize that course, but I can understand why. No, but he was saying, and then he'd have a big ass concert for like you know a couple hundred people.
Yeah,
and we'd all be side stage watching them every year. And he'd be on the side. He'd be like, "All right, boys, y'all can have anything, but don't touch my tequila and don't touch my weed." And he'd come, and so he'd be playing a couple songs. He'd come over, take a shot, hit the weed or whatever, and go back on stage. But he came over, you know, and my dad and all of them drank all of his tequila. He's like, where's my, I told y'all not to touch my damn tequila.
What are you going
to
do, Willie?
What you going to do, Willie? He's like, you rat that, you know, whatever. And then so a lady came back, brought him another bottle, and, you know, went back on stage.
Well, and that's.
Y'all don't touch this bottle. And he pointed to him. He's like, get these guys some more liquor.
Well, that's what, like, the Mac Jack McConaughey was kind of modeled after, was the Ben Willie Darrell.
Yeah.
Because that was like, the Ben Willie Darrell was like, that was the event that everybody wanted to go to. There was a big charitable component to
it.
That
makes sense.
All the guys would come back. So, you know, Jack Mac or Mac Jack McConaughey.
But they
and,
take,
and,
they
and
take,
I'm not trying to take anything away from Jack Ingram, but he ain't no Willie Nelson.
No.
You know, like, if you're going to do that, it needs to be a Willie character. Like somebody who's just huge. I don't know who that guy is now, but whatever.
No.
But real quick, going to the text line, CB, what's up, man, piped in that Gary Patterson's wife is a Texas alum and they are close with DeLoss Dodds. Yeah, I get that. Kelsey was actually a Texas Angel recruiting girl for my dad back in the Makovic era. So
she was a recruiter girl.
She was.
Also,
and I
also,
get the relationship, but DeLoss ain't here anymore. This is the CDC show. And I know that Gary and Del Conte are really close, but I'm just telling you, if I don't see it. One, I don't see it because Gary's got a little bit of an ego.
And two, you don't want to see it. Yeah, I see that. I hear the attitude in your voice. Carrie P. texted, he said, Riley's dogs are named Boomer and Sooner. Life lesson for kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Do not. Yeah.
That's great. We will talk about this Quinn Ewers thing. It's
oh, gosh. We got to get into some of this.
I have a lot of Ray Benson stories.
Ray Benson would be a great guy to have for the – it would be
Ray,
Mac, and McConaughey. That would be a good one.
I love Ray Benson.
Yeah.
I have some great – car times with him, some car rides. That's like, what are you talking about?
Well, hey, we'll get to that story and more. We got to take a quick commercial break. You are listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn.
What's going on, everybody?
A little 311 this morning. Beautiful morning here in Austin, Texas, Casey. Here with my family.
Here with my family. So this cat, Quinn Ewers.
Yeah.
Is.
In the portal.
In the portal, period.
He gone. South Lake Carroll kid.
So
number one recruit in the country. Leaves high school early, because he was about to get paid. You can't be a high school player in the state of Texas and get paid like that.
Gotcha.
So he was like,
yeah, he left there.
Deuces South Lake. I'm going to up to Columbus.
Yeah.
Gets there.
Makes 1.2.
Makes about $1.2 million, $1.3 million, most of it from a kombucha beverage. And then he also had a deal with some with a car dealership. How much would it suck to be that car dealer right now?
There goes
my money. Paid this kid a couple $100,000.
So why did he enter the portal?
Because he's not going to ever play at Ohio State.
Is that quarterback that good?
Stroud?
Yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't at the beginning of the year. But, I mean, Quinn Ewers only took 2 snaps this year at Ohio State. So Stroud.
They're trying to redshirt him.
Yeah. But then they also just picked up a commitment from, I think the kid's name's Devin Brown.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Who's the number two quarterback and the number two prospect in the class of 2023. The only guy in front of him is Arch Manning.
2023 is not next year's class.
Not this year. Not this recruiting cycle, but the next. Okay? So won't be on campus for 2 years.
Won't be on. So we'll have 2 more football seasons, then Arch Manning could be here?
1 more season, and then the following year Arch would be here in 2023.
Okay, I got you. I got what you're saying. So there's one more. They're going to be seniors next year.
Arch were to come to
Texas. I'm saying. So that class, the 2023 class, is one more season. I got you. One more.
They're going to be seniors next
year. Gotcha. Okay. But that kid's in the 2022 class, they're saying. But anyways.
I don't know about that.
The 2023.
I thought it was 2023.
So if he's a 2023 class, that means.
Regardless, the kid is one of the top prospects in the country, and he commits to Ohio State this past week.
Okay. So that will make the starting quarterback now a junior when he's a freshman?
Yes, but Ewers is a freshman as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So, okay, he redshirts.
Yeah.
So last year doesn't count, or this year doesn't count.
Yeah, I thought he only came in during this, I don't know, it was weird. He got a full year. He was considered a year?
Yeah, he graduated early and went up to Columbus, started getting paid. I mean, I'm not hating on the kid for getting paid. Do what you do.
But he couldn't practice till camp, right?
Boy, I think he had the spring.
I heard he couldn't practice during spring.
I'm not as knowledgeable.
Anyway,
about
so
it.
he says I'm out of here. This quarterback's better than me.
Yeah,
is basically what he's saying.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, and I'm scared of the second. I hope we don't pick him up, a scared ass like that that just jumps ship, doesn't want to fight for a spot. Like, if it's me and I'm that caliber quarterback, I'm playing another year. I'm like, okay, I got this year in. Now I'm going to sit here, go through spring, and I'm going to – you saw it at Clemson.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't have no gut, like, oh, I'm going to take this guy's job.
For it to compete.
I hope Texas doesn't get it.
Well, and now, my bad, I am staying corrected. Devin Brown is class of 2022. Okay, so he's coming up. He's coming
next
up to
year.
Ohio State this year.
This year.
Yeah. So, regardless.
That's competition, though. That's what you
competition.
Want.
That's competition. If you're the number one player.
You got to at least do it 1 year, see where you're at against these two.
You would think.
If you bang on the young one and you're right there neck and neck with the top one, and you start passing them in practice, they're going to play you at Ohio State.
It's going to be tough for him to jump Stroud. It's going to be really hard for him to jump Stroud.
Well, how do you know? What if he starts, you never know. A kid starts clicking.
Well,
that's what I'm saying.
Stroud is clicking. I mean, he's going to be a Heisman candidate.
That the guy that Trevor Lawrence took over, he was a Heisman candidate.
I don't
Same
disagree
thing.
With you. But what I'm saying, though, is that Quinn Ewers now enters
at
the
At Oklahoma,
portal.
It happened twice.
True that.
Tua came in.
Yep.
You ain't getting it back.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it happens.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're soft as hell. I don't want him as our quarterback.
So now it's come out that there's three teams that Quinn Ewers has his eyes on, okay? University of Texas, Texas A&M, and Texas Tech. Now, to me, Quinn Ewers' Kentucky waterfall haircut plays really well in Lubbock. Okay? He's got a mullet.
Yeah.
That thing would work real well in Lubbock. But he is the number one guy, and Texas is in desperate, desperate need of a quarterback. I mean, they need a quarterback in a very bad way. Because Casey Thompson ain't the guy, and Hudson Card ain't the guy. They proved that this year.
You got to get a quarterback.
You got to go out. Now they also have Malik Murphy coming in this next year. Okay, he's already committed to the University of Texas, and he's a big proponent and been recruiting for Texas and all of that. But again, do you try to go all in on Quinn Ewers if you're Steve Sarkisian? And go get him. I know, Casey, I know you don't want him because, in your mind...
He's soft.
Okay? But for the sake of the program, if he is that dude, if he is that guy, if he really
if
is the number one
than,
guy...
If he's better than what we got, yeah, you have to go after him.
No doubt.
But...
no doubt.
You have to. But I would think they would go after somebody that's...
But here's the thing, Casey, that you also have to understand. Quinn Ewers was committed to the University of Texas.
I know. And then
he decommitted.
Out.
But here's what I would also say to that is that, as Kerry P. points out, the reason he didn't come to the University of Texas is because he didn't like Tom Herman. It wasn't that he didn't like the University of Texas. I mean, there's pictures of Quinn Ewers all over the internet as a kid in University of Texas jerseys. He grew up watching Vince Young. He grew up watching Colt McCoy. He wanted to be a Longhorn. But he didn't want to come and be a Longhorn for Tom Herman.
No, I hear that. I understand that.
So I'm not trying to hold that, the fact that he went up to Ohio State and kind of, you know, said, all right, Texas, I'm going to go and do this thing.
Yeah, if he's better than what we got to go after him. But I think there's got to be a quarterback that's seasoned can bring in.
Can you imagine Quinn Ewers to Xavier Worthy next year on the 40 acres at DKR, just chucking it around? Jordan Whittington's coming back. So he's got, you know, two pretty good targets right there.
Well, is there any other quarterbacks that we can
think of? Bijan in the backfield.
Yeah, but how do you know he couldn't compete at freaking Ohio State? So how can he compete here?
Because he's light years ahead of what they got on campus right now.
How do we know that? That's all I'm saying. How do we know that?
Yes, I understand that you haven't seen the kid play.
You know, so I don't know. That's all I know is, okay, if he's a good kid, bring him in. But I wouldn't put all my I'll go get someone that's a seasoned guy that needs one more year that can come in and sling the hell of that out of it and can do a Sark offense. That can hit it and yeah. You know what I'm saying.
And
the biggest concern is still his offensive line. So we don't even know if those two damn quarterbacks were worth the crap anyways because they're running for their damn lives.
True.
So, you know, it goes back to that too.
Yeah, that's a good point. And if you get Quinn Ewers, let's say you do go all in on Quinn Ewers, and you have a shot at Arch Manning, does that affect if Arch wants to come to the University of Texas? In my mind, listen, if you've got to take care of the team, you can't rely on thinking that you're going to get Arch. If you got an opportunity to go out and get
– we'll get both of them.
Well, there you go. That's exactly.
Get both of them. But let them compete.
But then does Quinn be like, oh, I don't want to compete against Arch?
Yeah, he'll leave again. Then we'll be like, yeah, he's a punk. And then somebody in Austin's going to pay him again probably $500,000 because he comes here.
Ooh.
And he's going to bounce again.
Well, and speaking of that, Casey, did you see that the new Clarkfield Collective was put together?
What's that?
So the Clarkfield Collective is a fund, basically. I don't know any other way to put it. But it is basically an NIL entity that is going to help the University of Texas attract recruits and them get paid. Okay? Has nothing to do with the University of Texas.
Yeah.
The university can't do anything about this. Okay? This is basically a group of former players and alums who have put together a $10 million fund for NIL purposes for the University of Texas athletes. Okay, headed up by a guy named Nick Shuley. Okay, Nick's an entrepreneur, been working for C3 for a little bit. Good guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but they've raised $10 million initially right now between the alumni and the former athletes to put together an NIL group that is going to basically be able to fund a lot of these recruits coming to the University of Texas. And they're leading the way. Now, it is a replicable entity that every university can do.
Yeah.
But Texas has deep, deep pockets. Okay? And Texas alums want nothing but a winner. Okay? They're tired of watching Texas get mopped up by the competition. Okay, yeah. So they got together and said, well, screw it. What do we got to do? And they put together a fund. It's called the Clarkfield Collective, run by Nick Shuley. And it's going to be – I think it's going to change the game for the University of Texas. So now when you're – you know, if you're a Cam Dewberry, you know, one of the top linemen in the state, a Banks, you know, if you're one of these big recruits, you're like, okay, I go to Texas. They got something set up where I'm going to get paid.
No, I hear that. No, I agree with all that. I agree with all that. Said in 2002, Texas had 3 5-star QBs on campus with Mock, Vince, and Sims.
Yeah, was Chance Mock really a 5-star?
At the end of the day, though, was half the quarterbacks that came to Texas a 5-star?
True. I mean, Chris Sims, I don't think had the career at Texas that everybody thought he would.
He was good.
I'm not saying he was a bad player, but you know, he was the number one recruit in the country and just never could get over that hump at UT.
Was Garrett Gilbert a 5-star? Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Was the quarterback after him a 5-star?
Probably. Not a 5-star. David Ash? Was it Ash?
I don't know. Who was it? Bichelle, Ash?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Hey, we got to take a quick commercial break. We'll pick this up on the other side. You were listening to The Horn. Johnny Boy bringing the hits on a beautiful Saturday morning here in Austin, Texas.
Bringing the hits. Oh, I thought you were talking about yourself.
No.
I thought you were, thought he was self-sucking over there. You can't be doing that.
JR in the booth.
JR in the booth.
Hey, Casey, I did want to say, since last time we chatted, I had an opportunity to go to one of the best college football atmospheres I've ever been to. A little place called Oxford, Mississippi. You ever been to Oxford?
Ole Miss?
Ole Miss.
You like that because it's just pure frat heaven.
Oh, it is. It is. Dripping
frat heaven.
Oh, yeah.
It is typical, wear that sweater around the neck, tie it up, and let's roll, baby.
Yeah, I had the sweater tied around my neck.
I know you did.
I had all my – they were playing Texas A&M, so I went with a group of Aggies and a couple buddies that are
what
from
Ole Miss.
What
colors did you wear?
I wore an Ole Miss pullover. It was cold.
So you wore Ole Miss?
I wore Ole Miss, but it was really cold, so I had this like Santa Fe chic. Oh, hell no.
Okay, I just, you know, I didn't.
I was rocking a little Santa Fe chic with my cowboy hat. I was
like, that's like ungodly for you to go family Texas and then U Texas TCU and then to go put on an A&M shirt.
No.
You wouldn't be accepted.
No, that's like wearing some Austin High stuff. That ain't happening. But, dude, I'm telling you right now. So we stayed close. We stayed basically – a buddy of ours has a house that's in between the square, which is, you know, old school, kind of Forrest Gump vibe.
Gotcha.
And they've got a great place called the library that we dominated, obviously.
Yeah.
Then the next morning got up, went down to the Grove.
Bruh, the Grove is where the tailgating is, right?
You have never seen tailgating. Maybe LSU. I'll throw that in there as well. But – the Grove,
See, that's
beautiful,
why,
beautiful women everywhere. Everybody having a good time. They got chandeliers, machines.
Well, that's because everybody's allowed to set up their own tents and set up their own thing.
Yep.
CDC has everybody up here having to pay for a tent and all this kind of crap. And it's like, we can't. And he's like, I want to have the Grove vibe. It's like, well, you're not going to have it because you took away everybody's right to be able to tailgate.
Yep. 100%.
And that pisses me off.
I'm telling you, I've kind of been, given CDC a little bit of the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
You know, because he's trying to create this cool atmosphere, Longhorn City Limits and Bevo Boulevard and all of that. And
that's
maybe
not
that's great for the kids.
Yeah.
But
tailgating is college football.
I'm telling you, it is. If you ever want the ultimate college football experience, go to Oxford. And, bro, went into the game and they have a DJ in the student section. They have a DJ that is in the student section getting that crowd crunk.
Boots full of whiskey.
Oh, no doy.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and they got, I mean, they got lights that are like Vegas lights. I mean, it is, I mean, you can smell, there's a smell of whiskey in the air when you enter that stadium. I mean, the only thing they don't do right is they got a bad bathroom situation.
We got a bad bathroom situation.
Okay? But I'm telling you.
Are you peeing on ice like old school?
I went up there with the Colonel, and it was the best college football experience I think I've ever had.
There you go.
It was a good time. So shout out to the boys from Oxford. Good times had by all.
There you go. My whole thing with the whole Quentin Years thing is he doesn't want to compete. And I understand there is that thing where he doesn't get his NIL money if he doesn't play six games next year or whatever. But you should be like, all right, that's fine. I'm going to play six games. I'm going to take this guy's job.
Correct.
At least one more year. You know what I mean? But, like, unless he's like, oh, I already spent all that money.
Don't you
kind of
feel like kids are a little soft these days, Case?
Yes, they're all soft. They're all soft.
I mean, if you're the number one guy, you're not going anywhere. You go on campus, and it's your campus.
Yeah. But he got scared because Stroud started playing good after, you know, a slow start. But that's him getting coached by their coaches.
Yeah.
That develop quarterbacks really, really well.
Correct.
So stick in there. Get your extra time in with coach after practice. Work your ass off and go win that spot. Hit your throws. Yep. Don't be out there scared. Like, come on. That's what you want.
And you mentioned
it. But that's the thing is like that you want competition. If you're you don't get better if you're not scared of your job getting taken.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? I understand, like, you get in there and there's a dominant quarterback, like a you're not going to take that spot over, you know, with some of those quarterbacks. But it's still like...
Well, look, and you mentioned him earlier. Tua, great example.
Yeah.
Okay, Tua, I mean, Jalen Hurd was already well entrenched as that dude at the University of Alabama.
Didn't he win a Heisman? No.
No, he didn't win the Heisman until he went
to
Oklahoma. But won a national championship. Okay, he was the quarterback of a national championship team. And in comes Tua. And you think Tua was like, nah, I'm not going to play. I'm going to go somewhere else. No.
No.
He stayed, worked his butt off, and
took the spot.
And took his spot. And then what did Jalen Hurd do? He got scared and transferred. He didn't want to stick around and compete.
Well, he had one more year left. He knew. He knew that.
Jalen Hurd made the right decision.
No, he did.
Go to Oklahoma, win the Heisman.
Yeah.
But to me,
he didn't win the Heisman.
Did Hurd win the Heisman?
Hurts? No.
Oh.
No, he didn't win the Heisman. Kyler Murray won the Heisman, and Baker won the Heisman.
Oh, that's right.
And I don't know.
A bunch of those guys won Heisman. I thought everybody that went to OU won Heismans.
Yeah. No, he didn't win it the third.
But I mean, he's playing pretty good in Philly now too.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, but I mean, it's just one of those things. It's like, you have to have competition, and if you go out there and you're not going to get better, like you want to go against good D tackles. Like I bet you, we see today because we have these badass championship games today. You know, the game that I'm really looking at, you got Georgia, Alabama. You got Georgia's defense that's just disgusting, and Alabama's O line that's just not good right now.
Hurts finished second in the Heisman that year to Burrow.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no one's going to beat Burrow.
No one's going to beat Burrow.
It was so gangster. It was so gangster. He lit that cigar after the championship, and then fat boy from the Patriots. Like now, Alabama does that like after games and stuff.
Yeah,
like come on, just because like that's an LSU. You can't take LSU's thing,
dude. Joe Burrow, Joey B was a baller.
That's like the picture of him.
Okay,
the picture of him. Smoking the cigar.
With the hat,
national championship, sitting on the chair. That's like an iconic, it's like one of the cleanest pictures ever. And then I saw this interview where this lady walked up to him, and she was holding a picture of him when he was a kid. And she goes, what would you tell this kid at this age when he, I don't know how old he was in the picture, if you go back and tell him right now? And he goes, that you're going to be a national champion?
Damn right. Okay, but Joey B is a great example of a guy who decided to leave Ohio State, went to a better situation down at LSU, and won a Heisman and a national championship. I mean, I think that's probably going in the mind of Quinn Ewers right now.
How many years was he there?
At LSU?
And at Ohio State.
He was there for a couple years.
He was there 2-3 years.
Yeah, because he wasn't at LSU for very
long.
But
he tried.
He tried.
And then he didn't get on the field and went down there and had an offense and balled.
Correct.
And now he just keeps balling.
Yeah. Now he also had, you know, Joe Brady as the offense coordinator. LSU was set up for success.
Yeah. So you got that. But I mean.
But at least you're right. Joey B stuck around for a while, tried his best to become that dude at Ohio State.
I don't know if I'm just hating on the Ewers kid, but that's just to me, you should at least do it one more year. Don't leave right now. At least get a whole spring in and an off season in and a lot of work in, a whole year of real work at Ohio State, and see if you can take this guy's job. And you'll quickly know. You're going to know because Coach will be like, they're going to play you at Ohio State if you're better.
Correct.
There's no.
I think he's looking at this as a business decision, because there have been reports that some of his NIL deals are tied to him starting a minimum of 6 games or playing a certain percentage of snaps.
Okay, but that's why you take this year. But it has to be a certain percentage of snaps win in the first 2 years.
On the field, yeah. Like, hey, I'm, you know, Covert Ford, and I'm going to pay you, but you got to start 6 games or play 50% of the snaps for us to pay you, you know, this escalation, you know, whatever. Okay? That ain't happening now.
So how do you know if he didn't go out there and compete?
Oh, there you go.
Because he didn't start this year. He wasn't going to start. He wasn't going to start this year because I remember now that he didn't get to practice in the spring. He was up there just as a student early.
He'd been there 4 months. He got there this year.
That's what I'm saying. He got there in the spring, but he couldn't do any football activities.
Yeah.
And then once summer came, he got – so he's basically gone through one season, no off season, no spring with the team where you really make your gains.
No doubt.
So that's where I'm kind of stuck up with it. But I don't know.
But who knows? I mean, hopefully, you know – now, not even saying 100% he's come to the University of Texas. Okay, but they're definitely – they've got to be the front runner because he won – I mean, he's – it's almost like the Sam Ehlinger deal where Sam was going to be a Longhorn no matter what. And Quinn Ewers definitely wanted to be a Longhorn, but don't think that he was a good fit with Tom Herman.
Yeah.
So be it.
Yeah.
And we got to take a commercial break here. You are listening to the Big Ugly Tailgate here on the Horn. We'll be right back.